the queen, the sorceress. Take a breath, you're sure to miss. Lord of the Rings and Cox-Hating Kiss. I'm the one who rules the space. Pray to God was given grace. Can't be replaced. Why? My coochie laced. I'm the one who made her. It's not to you.
Welcome to Invasion of Privacy. I'm Kate Wolf. And today, it's Thursday, 6:30 a.m., June 20th. Early as fuck, actually. So I'm going to get right into it. Big news, Katy Perry and Taylor Swift were in Taylor Swift's You Need to Calm Down music video. And this is a very big deal, at least to me. They're finally, I guess for about a year now, they've been friends and have reconciled. Katy Perry literally sent Taylor Swift an olive branch to Taylor's like redemption tour. So they wanted to wait though until it was a solid enough friendship to go public, but they did. And I thought it was a beautiful symbol of forgiveness and growth. And I believe Katy Perry even tweeted something like that. But I'm really proud of both artists. I think I talked about this a bit ago about their feud of, wouldn't it be nice to watch not just women, but people find a way through conflict, you know, and that doesn't always mean ending up as friends. I'm glad that they did, but we are all kind of shifting into another vibration, I believe, of true non-duality. I mean, not everyone, but a lot of us. And it's such a nicer way to live when, even though you have your role and your perspective, you, as best you can, attempt to see all parties' views, you can still go with what your feelings are and your perspective. But I think non-duality is realizing that, you know, there are two sides to one coin. And when you really hold opposing forces, a third thing is created. And this is something that I learned in my four-year program. And the third thing is an interesting space to talk about. It's this thing that almost opens up. I often feel it from within, even though it then expands out. And it's this new space that's filled with so much potential, but it doesn't feel as dramatic, at least in my system. And what I'm seeing with Taylor Swift and Katy Perry is almost like a real third thing space opening up. I'm not sure what's going to happen through them being friends, but I'm hoping for some really cool collaborations between the two of them. They're both such talented pop goddesses, and I think they could create, I mean, I just love a lot of their music individually, but together, they even have similar aesthetics. You Need to Calm Down, Taylor Swift's new video, which is very for gay rights, which is amazing. But the aesthetic is very similar to Katy Perry's. I think it's because they have similar vibrations. So I believe so. And both have inspired each other. So yeah, it's been really nice to see those two. And it's been a year. It's been a while that they've been friends, which I like, because they kind of waited until it felt stable enough to put that out. So good for them. Very mature into it. And that doesn't mean, once again, like, who knows, Cardi and Nicki may never make up, but at least the drama has settled. I think people are learning. And look, once again, everything I say, I'm still normally currently working on, but I think we're learning, and I'm learning this, that when you get triggered, we often first want to go to blame, and we'll go into our external world. And it's okay to go into the external world and to create somewhat of a story. Okay, I am upset because dot, 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 dot. But then if you usually take it within and go deeper and really sit with it and ride the waves of transference, you normally come to a deeper place that it's stemming from. I know I have a deep rejection wound that stems very, very deep, and it goes with abandonment and self-worth. So often things in the external, they're triggering a deep wound that probably occurred a bit ago. And for me, I won't go too deep into this, but I have been recovering for about 5 or 6 years now, a traumatic memory. It's a gray area molestation wound. And when you uncover things like that, and I know I have a lot of good friends who are also uncovering some deep memories around trauma. Some friends, it's sexual based. Some, it's a different kind of trauma. But when you uncover repressed memories, you have to go really, really slowly. And it's also really to have a non-dual perspective as best you can. There are still victims within that. However, there's a lot of sickness in our soil. And we have been repeating historical wounds for generations. And I'm hoping that now is the time where we can stop repeating a lot of these really abusive patterns and start to heal them and understand that they've been steeped in the soil for a long, long time. So, you know, a lot of us are healing, and I'm very proud of Taylor Swift and Katy Perry. They're public figures. That's a big deal. People might say, oh, it's not a big deal. No, it is. A lot of people look up to Katy Perry. She has millions of followers. And same with Taylor Swift, millions of followers. And when two very strong female archetypes show, two goddesses walking this earth, show that we can actually move forward and evolve, and we can all actually find freedom in that place, I think that's such a beautiful, positive message to send. And I am very happy that happened. You can kind of hear all the cars outside. My room has a really big, beautiful bay window to the street, so I can hear the cars. So when a loud truck comes, sorry if you guys can hear that. I'm sure, I don't think you guys would care, but you never freaking know. I saw the movie X-Men Dark Phoenix. I fucking loved it. It's been getting low ratings on Rotten Tomatoes, which, I mean, whatever, but I loved it. Thought it was great. I think Sophie Turner did an incredible job of portraying a complicated female archetype. I mean, the Phoenix archetype is something that a lot of us feel in our systems. It's the rising from the ashes quality, because we often fall into shame when we see our imperfections. And Dark Phoenix, or just Phoenix in general, is about you can rise from the ashes. You can have a bajillion, million, trillion new fresh starts even a day. It's up to you and your state of consciousness and your ability to be free and forgive. So I think that they portrayed that within the female archetype so fucking beautifully, because it's also about forgiveness around power and misuse of power. And as many of us come into our truest power, we also start to hit up against the blocks. And a lot of times those blocks are shame for being so powerful. And it can be often tied to your sexuality, especially if you have trauma that is in a sexual abuse category, which I do. And part of it is feeling even guilty for however you quote unquote contributed to that trauma. You know, rape and sexual molestation and sexual abuse is so much grayer than we often talk about in the media. I don't want to go too deep into this without a psychologist going into this with me who has studied this for years. I have actually three incredible psychologist friends that I've been trying to get on for a bit. Hopefully, I think my one friend, Carrie, will be coming on soon. I'm praying. We've set a date, so I'm hoping that works out, because I would really love to not just talk about sexual abuse, but really all sorts of trauma, and really go into them in a bit of a deeper, non-dual, Kabbalistic healing way. And really having honest talks from all different perspectives about why these things continue to occur. And I believe that hiddenness plays a huge part in it. A lot of us don't want to rock the boat. We don't want to say the obvious. We don't want to address the elephant in the room. So we go to this more polite place, but that's not helping anyone. And I myself am seeing my own hiddenness and the own ways that I hide information to, quote unquote, protect people involved. And that protection protects no one because it creates a very hidden way of navigating, which you might think is protecting some people, but no one gets protected because then we're creating an environment where abuse becomes allowed and we turn our heads and we don't even recognize it as abuse anymore. It's a really dark thing. And I think it's time we start going into even our shadows and seeing what we're most ashamed about. It first starts with forgiving yourself for whatever your part in any kind of abuse was. And you need to talk about these things as well. So, you know, I offer healings, kwolf2f27@gmail.com. I have a very non-dual perspective on almost everything. I have suffered a lot of intricacies starting as a very, very young child. And I've been recovering memories for years and years now. And I still, with every party involved, try my best to understand from an impersonal place what goes on while also letting myself grieve and rage and cry and take space or whatever it is that I feel that I need while uncovering these wounds that we are all swimming in as a collective, but don't really often like to face. But you know what? We're all getting to a place where it's like, I'd rather be real as fuck and discuss real shit than do any kind of small talk at this point. I don't have the energy for it. It's so much energy to put up a facade. But we do it because we don't want to be rude or we don't want to freak people out. It's just like, listen, the only thing that freaks me out is at this point hiddenness around shit. And I just have limited energy. I still have Lyme disease. You know, it's been inactive for over a year because I take care of myself. It forced me to listen. It forced me to set boundaries. It forced me to go in. You know, at some point, if you keep repeating certain behaviors, you have to say, how am I contributing? And I had to look at my relationship to the comedy community and to the comedy world. I had to. I kept getting so exhausted. And I'm going to be honest. I live in New Jersey. Driving into New York City, which is over an hour because you almost always hit traffic, and then tolls for a $25 spot, I appreciated it, and I do appreciate it. However, when you are running yourself into the ground, you have to start making choices that say, my body and my spiritual and emotional health comes first. And I'm still a comedian. I still love doing comedy shows when it makes sense for me, when my whole being lights up. But so many comedians have settled for shit pay because they get in this very starved mentality of, I got to keep hustling. I got to make it. I got to make it. I knew I was not going to become a famous person who still hated my life. Because I remember when I saw the Joan Rivers documentary, she still seems so steeped in comparison and jealousy and not giving herself a break. And when her calendar wasn't as full, she started obsessing about Kathy Griffin, who she was half friends with, half enemies with. And I was like, yo, what's all of this worth if you quote unquote make it and still hate your life? And I'm not going to be that person. So I've made a decision to look out for my health and my son first, because I come first and he comes first. And yesterday, something really tragic happened. I'm not going to share what, with a friend. And it really made me go in and look at what I need to really appreciate in this present moment, because we forget to be present. And I understand, right? But we've got this one precious life that we really want to be in. And I often leave. I'm often escaping. And I want to be here. And when that tragic thing happened with a friend who I'm still praying for and with and sending a ton of love to, it made me say, you know what? You know what I did in that moment? I called my son, and he was doing some stuff hiking wise, and I decided to go meet him and see how he was doing. And we actually had a great interaction. He actually ended up needing me, but I don't think never would have called me to tell me. But he did, and we ended up hanging out for a bit. It wasn't my day. So I got to have just even a half an hour to an hour more of Shane time that I would not have had. And I think, you know, the universe does things to get our attention and to wake us up. And sometimes we fight it and it's hard. And sometimes it's beyond tragic and we don't think we can go on. And I will always, this is Phoenix energy again, say that you can go on, but you can't do this stuff alone. And you have to voice it, and you have to find people that you feel safe actually voicing your realest truth to and with. And that's very difficult, to find people who are real, but walk this non-dual spiritual journeying path. I mean, it's what we all really want. So I'm going to say to all of you, keep going, even if shit's hard. Because it's bumping up against systems, and a lot of us have found ways to control. Some people vanish as a way to control, which I used to do a ton, which is not real control, by the way. I learned that the hard way. If you got to vanish to cope, that's what you got to do, you know. But I've learned that vanishing is a way of trying to control, and then going in and invading and pushing and forcing, which is something I did a ton of too, that I'm trying to heal. You know, you just have to, in a sense, surrender and see what unfolds and trust that whatever is meant for you and matches your truest vibration is for you. And that way, you're actually being yourself. That's what we all really want. When you're forcing, it's out of, when you're forcing, you're actually pushing your energy field into a different shape than it truly is. And it hurts. It sucks. I did it a lot. It comes from a place of fear. So does vanishing. I used to run away. Oh my gosh. I used to run. That's part of why I don't bring him up a lot. But why Nathan McIntosh hasn't even been on here in a bit. When our friendship, you know, had a lot of crumbling, I vanished. I vanish. I run. I don't mean to laugh, but I'm, and he does it too. And I won't talk much about more, but I know some of you have asked. I consider him still a friend. We text, I call him sometimes. You know, I honor him. I think he's one of the best comics out there. But I just will say that I vanished, man. I do that with a lot. I did it with a lot of exes. Yeah. But, and some I don't regret. First of all, I don't really regret anything. Let me just talk about regrets, because we all love swimming in regret. Regret gets you nowhere for myself and for all of you. Okay. I have had some people tell me in either healing sessions or as friends, some pretty crazy shit. I have heard it all, and I have found a place in my heart for forgiveness for everything that I've heard. Because when we really start to talk and we really start to understand from a place of truth and honesty, well, truth is truth. I can handle anyone's truth. Now, I've gotten to a place where I really can only do that in a paid healing session, because it takes a lot of energy to hold space if someone's been holding on to really dark secrets. Even if they were the perpetrator in them, I'm willing to hear. I just have gotten to a place where I need to get paid for those services. And I think setting that boundary and knowing your worth, your monetary worth, is really big and beautiful too. I think there's just so much going on and so much shifting for everyone that we just have to ride these waves as best we can. And when something feels horrific, like the universe just fucking fucked me or whatever that thing is, know that it's trying as best it can to push you within to a place that you didn't want to look at, to a place that you didn't want to face, maybe out of shame, fear, whatever. But we can all get through this as long as we are honest and filled with compassion first and foremost to ourselves. Because we don't have compassion to yourself, you really can't have true compassion to anyone else. But that's where most people are operating from. Sacrifice my needs for someone else. It's like, you ain't helping no one. And you're just teaching people that true happiness isn't really available when you live for that place. And fuck that. I am ready to be happy. I'm ready to be free. I'm embracing my inner nudist. I love being naked a lot. I like walking around my house naked. You know, I obviously can't do that when my son's here, but a lot of us want to have naked bodies, but you don't force that on a person. A lot of people, you know, that's part of the wounds. A lot of fucking parents, mothers, but especially fucking fathers in this community, walk around inappropriately dressed around their kids. A lot of parents abuse their power with their kids. I try very hard not to with Shane. I know in my past I did, and I have worked my ass off to let him be as free as possible. Sometimes it can be a detriment. One time, his therapist said that Shane was asking for me to be stricter. I was like, are you fucking kidding me? I think he'd be okay with me sharing that. That's the only reason why I did. But yeah, it's funny, but sometimes I think I give them too much freedom, but maybe not. I like freedom. I think freedom is great. Let people figure out. I give my son a beautiful structure. I make sure he's well fed. I make sure homework's done. I make sure teeth are brushed and flossed. And like, I make sure that the very crucial things to me, I make sure that his emotional needs are being taken care of. But I think giving your child freedom is huge. And I know that I, in many ways, did not feel free as a kid or heard. And I very much want my son, and I want everyone's homes to become a safer place. Because when we overpower our children and don't actually listen to what's going on with them, we're just recreating what happened to us. And to your friends, it's also really important to be as open as you can and hear their opinions. If it starts to hurt in your system, you have every right to take space. But, you know, even with the political environment and how racism is still steeped in the soil, with innocent black people being shot still every fucking day by the police, we got to start having honest conversations. But they can get very, very emotional. Right? So you take a step back when it becomes too much or overheated, you feel into that and you take a step back. This isn't about pushing anything past your limits. This is a path of kindness. And I am very grateful I found this path, because I would not be alive. I do not believe I'd be a zombie without this fucking shit. And I'm grateful for my friends who are on this path as well, who are really fucking walking this. Because it's not easy. You want to fall into old systems, especially when you need to take space between friends and stuff. People take that personally very quickly. I've done a lot of work on just allowing the river to flow the fish. Even when you want to take it personally and saying, nope, this is what it is. This is reality right now. I might not like it. I might be fighting it, but this is it. This is what we're all co-creating. So let me go in and see what's going on in my own system that's creating this, if this isn't what exactly I want. And you just go within and you keep having faith and hope that things can heal and shift. This is an ever-evolving universe, and we are the universe experiencing itself. I did not make that quote up, but that is truth. So observe yourself. Observe, oh, there's a lot of hiddenness here. All right, what am I hiding within my own system? What am I not sharing out of fear and shame? and you go in and you look. We're all scared of being judged, but guess what? Look at your own self-judgment. When you can heal that, a lot of things move. All right, let me see what else I've written down. I wrote down a bunch. It's okay to rely on people. A lot of us feel shame for just being as needy, quote unquote needy, as we are. Guess what? We are born needy. We are born here to suck the milk out of the great mother. And I'm talking your own personal mother and just the great bear mother, Mother Earth, Gaia, the planet we live on, gives from her breast. You know, we are needy. We need, we eat, we drink water to survive. We are an ecosystem. Humans, the plants, the animals. And that's why when animals are in small cages, we all are connected. You're feeling it too. And that's why we have to treat every being with love, compare, and compassion. We are one. And I really hope that Merrill Park in Woodbridge, New Jersey starts to listen to me and opens up space for those fucking bunny rabbits and some of their exotic birds that are in way too tight spaces. I've said it now 3 times. I'm not going to keep being this fucking nice about it because I will contact PETA if I have to. All right. And I've been associated with PETA since I was, 20 fucking three. But I know when you're associated with something like PETA, they put you on a government list real quick. I know I've been on that list. I used to organize fucking protests. I know I'm on government lists because I'm saying shit, talking about aliens and all of it. You know what? Suck my dick. It's time we all want to feel good on this planet, including people in the fucking Illuminati, which I do believe is real, or whatever you want to call those groups. You know what I mean? You got all sorts of groups like Freemasons. They're not the Illuminati, but there are many groups out there that are real. I'm not here to give away ancient secrets that are going to fuck shit up. I'm here to fucking help free everyone. Animals, plants, all of it. So let's be fucking real and start really fighting for animals. And Katie the horse, who was a horse there for a long time at Merrill Park, just died. She was a blind horse that they took in. Because they do take in animals. They are a quote-unquote haven. You know, I do love any place that wants to take in animals that have been abandoned. That's beautiful. But that's that you still have to give them space. So even if you are, you took an animal from someone else, you got to treat that animal right. And animals can't be left alone either for hours and hours and hours. And look, it is not easy being a pet owner. It's a lot of fucking work. It's a lot of work, even just mentally, they're with you. So I get it. But we all have to maybe neighbors become friends and we check on each other's pets. You know what I mean? But we have to keep it real about the pain that our pets and animals just in general are in and the pain that the planet is in. And we got to start really cleaning up the oceans. We got to start really fucking recycling. We got to keep the shit real. Otherwise, none of the shit's going to matter because the planet's going to be dead. So it's time for real ass conversations. I have no energy at this point for anything other than that. I'm happy about the ocean cleanup that's finally taking place. There's this I think it's $1 billion. I posted it on my, so I have a Facebook fan page, Kate Wolf. Please follow me on there if you haven't, but I just posted about the ocean cleanup. Forbes did an article on it. Hold on, I'm pulling up on my page. Okay, so it's the world's largest ocean cleanup has finally begun. It's by Forbes, and they are saying, ambitious dreams have now become a reality as the ocean cleanup deploys its $20 million system designed to clean up the 1.8 trillion pieces of trash floating in the Great Pacific Garbage Patch. Yuck. So that Great Pacific Garbage Patch that's sitting there in the ocean is affecting all of us. We are all connected. So I am glad that that cleanup has started. We're going to have to put a lot more money into this. So if you're going to invest money, I would say invest in the ocean cleanup. Now, someone on my page wrote a comment. He is actually associated with Sea Shepherd, an organization that helps to end the slaughter of dolphins and whales, which is a great organization. He said, unfortunately, as multiple people said, this thing won't work. Okay, I don't agree with it. First of all, this person is also a fucking negative Nelly, like major. I fucking hate that when there's like a positive post and someone's like, actually, it'll never work. Suck my dick. With that kind of fucking mentality, it won't. So I don't want that negativity on my page. If somehow he's right that it broke, then they will fucking fix it. Because this is something necessary for us to handle. So if you want to relay information like, oh, it actually broke and they're looking to refix it, great. But watch your fucking negative comments that people spew everywhere. I don't have time for that shit. I almost deleted that comment, and maybe I fucking will. You know what? I'll leave it up. But like, there are ways to deliver information that are less negative. So if that's true, that the machine broke at first, you know they're going to fucking fix it and invest more money. This ocean cleanup is not optional, okay? If this doesn't happen, we're all going to fucking die. There's a nice little truth for everyone on a Thursday morning. So we're going to fucking fix it and we're going to deal with it because a lot of us are waking up and we're done with the other bullshit. So this is going to get fixed. And we're also going to stop slaughtering dolphins and whales because that's fucking disgusting. Okay. And Sea Shepherd is the name of that man's organization who wrote that comment. I've known him. He's an animal rights person as well. I've known him for years. You know, obviously, I think he could be a negative Nelly. I didn't say his name on the thing. There's a lot of people that are in animal rights and other kinds of rights that still need to themselves need to pick up the positivity, in my opinion. Okay. That's just what I think. Okay. Next on my notes. There was this beautiful Rainbow Tribe prophecy by the Hopi tribe, a Native American tribe. Twin comets whizzed by Earth, which is a prophecy that's been around a while, and I'm going to read a little bit. Okay. The Hopi tribe had predicted the coming of Red Kachina, which is Nibiru, aka the sun's twin, and stated that the Red Kachina would paint the sky with red color, and we will know that the purifications will start to begin. But before that, a blue star, Blue Kachina, and a twin comet will pass the Earth. With the recent passage of the twin comet, comet people have pointed out that this prediction has come true, and it's an indication that the purifier, Nibiru, which is the sun's twin, will be coming soon. So I'm going to say I agree 100% with this prophecy, and the purifications are beginning, and that's biblical shit too. We will be purified. We have to be. It's time to purify the earth so she doesn't die. So in our own systems, you know, our DNA is being activated. We are evolving. So get a fucking healing. kwolf2f27@gmail.com. I can help you through this shit. It's not easy. But you can't do it alone. And I'm ready to live a fun fucking life. And I said this last time. Because a lot of y'all showing on fucking Facebook and Instagram a fun life, and I know that that ain't happening in real life. You know, a lot of people love posting happy family pics and all sorts of stuff. Listen, that's fine, but you got to start looking at the way that you're, and myself included, but I've been trying to be more real on my social media, you know, and plus my life's starting to be pretty fucking dope because I did the goddamn work. Like my son, Shane Sudia, who I am so proud of, okay? He killed singing Lean On Me with his friend Shivam, who played the guitar and sang backup at, he had two talent shows, one in a row. I went to the early one. Man, Shane blew me away. His voice is incredible, and the bravery. Do you know the bravery it takes to do your talent show in middle school? I put together a dance when I was in middle school for the talent show, and I could see people snickering. I don't know how good it was. I've always been a good dancer, but I'm sure it was like a goofy middle school dance, but it's scary. So it's very brave to go and do that. And some of the acts, I almost started crying with the first act. I said, Kate, keep your shit together. Do not be the person with pink hair in the front row sobbing to other kids' performances. Please don't do that. So I held back my tears because I want... The first group were these, I think it was like three or four girls. They were dressed in beautiful Indian garb, saris. And oh my God, they were, first of all, incredible dancers, but they were doing movements of ancient goddess movements. Like they were incredible. I just started crying almost because it was so clear the goddess was present in that dance and how much she's shifting and coming more and more clear. And it was so clear in this talent show. There were so many girl groups that just killed it. There was one girl group, they did dancing and cheerleading moves. I got to talk to them after and I was like, you guys were incredible. And they were like, oh my God, are you Shane's mom? Seriously. They were like, he's so good and you're so cool. And I was like, oh my God, I want to be in middle school for a second. Actually, I don't want to be in middle school because I hated being stuck in those classes. I'm glad I just got to go to the talent show and then go home and do my own stuff career-wise because I was not a fan of school. I felt trapped a lot. And I'm a social butterfly. I like to talk. And I got in trouble a lot for talking. Only with some cunt teachers because a lot of teachers, they let me. They liked it because I had funny shit to say. Man, one of my art teachers in high school was a real cunterino. He would write the most fucking inappropriate shit in my sketchbook. He'd be like, he would like go into like my guy problems because I was getting cheated on in fucking high school because of my bad fucking self-esteem because of my gray area molestation wound and abuse I suffered as a kid. Oh, did I just say that real quick? Yeah, I did. Okay. So I love that. I love how in many ways, you know what? I'm going to stop because I'm about to go too ranty. But like, I just want to say there's a reason why many of us put up with bullshit behavior and it links to the bullshit we put up as kids. I'll just say that. I'll take it a little more impersonal, you know? And I know a lot of our parents are having trouble facing what they did to a lot of us. Let them sit with their shit. You don't need to take that on. You know what I mean? But we all got to face, and I've been facing my shit as a mother. I am honest with my son and I listen to him. So I've done a damn good job with my son and it has not been easy because when I got pregnant, it was, we'll say, very unexpected for me. Okay. And I love the shit out of my son. I could not be a prouder mom, but it's also hard being a parent and it's also hard being a pet owner. It's a lot of fucking responsibility, even mentally, not just physically. You got to hold space for these beings. You know, and I'm going to say I've done a damn good job and I did it basically on my fucking own. Not really. He has a dad that he's with half the time. So I don't mean like financially or even time wise. I mean, I've been single. Like I've entered a couple relationships while having Shane, but for the most part, I've been a single mom. You know, I've been the father figure in my own household. So I'm going to give me props because my son sang like an angel at the talent show and I was so fucking proud. I was like very close to crying, but I didn't. And just the other, to see the talented students other than my son performing, I was just like, because some of his friends listened to Labia Game and the podcast. So any of you that are my son's friends that listen to this, thank you. And I see you. And I see how the energy is affecting the school and how a lot of you are being free. One of my son's really close girlfriends has hair that almost matches mine. It's very short, blonde, got funky colors in it. I see you. Rock it out. Be free. I love it. I love what I'm seeing. I love the changes I'm seeing. With the teachers, with the students, I see you. So I just want to say that directly. And any of my son's friends that are listening, you keep listening. even if I'm talking about whatever. Let's all, you know, middle schoolers, they know what's up. I used to teach middle school. They had dirtier minds than me. I mean, not really true, but you know what I'm saying. Let's keep this shit real. Done with the fakery. I'm just done with hiddenness, right? We all just want to be ourselves. We all want to be understood, but you start with people you trust the most. You start showing yourself there, and then it can slowly start to expand. I right now have a group of people I'm doing a course with, and they have allowed me to grow and shift and heal in ways that are unimaginable just by hearing each other and being there for each other as we are. And it's hard because I see my own ways that I'm hidden in the group and ways that I'm scared to joke around or say certain words. And it's been miraculous watching what goes on as we all heal together. And I'm just honored, you know? It's an honor to get to continue to meet people on this path. And it's not just, I love this particular, I love what's happening, but I have some other beautiful people on this path that I've encountered. And we just allow each other to be who we are. And that is important. When you can actually be who you are, because most of us are not. Because we're still working out of trauma and the old shapes we had to beat ourselves into. And I'm fucking over it. And I'm not going to pretend I don't curse, because I curse motherfuckers. And that's what I'm saying to my son's friends who are listening. I don't give a shit if you curse. I love parents who curse all the time, and then a middle schooler curses. Oh my God, where'd they learn that from? Huh, I wonder. Or the bullying, right? We watch our kids bully. I wonder where that came from. Oh, maybe because your husband just hit him. Shelly. Now I'm just going to say all these names. I hate saying a name that like sounds just white because I have like friends. So my friend who is Shelly, that wasn't for you at all. Or Cindy. I always say Cindy, but I like Cindy's too. So I need to stop picking names because it's going to end up hurting someone. But you know what I mean? It's like bullying starts in our homes. So let's keep it real. So Bella Thorne, she is a celebrity. She had someone blackmailing her that they were going to release, or someone hacked, I guess, into her phone or something and found her nude photos and was threatening to release them. So she released them herself to not give it to the blackmailer, which is cool, whatever. But then Whoopi Goldberg on The View went off on her a bit. She just was going off on like, if you're still taking nude pictures knowing the cloud exists and that hackers exist, da-da-da-da-da, you shouldn't be taking nudes. Bitch, please. You know, did I just call Whoopi a bitch? Not really. I don't fucking... But bitch, please. I take nude photos of me all the fucking time. I ain't scared. Okay, first of all, I got great tits, a great vagina, a great ass. What's the worst case? Everyone knows about it. The secret's out. Whatever. I still take those. I am not ashamed. Okay? I'm not ashamed to send them to whoever the fuck I want to send them to. That is my decision. And if someone fucking hacks, if someone not just hacks, if someone goes through your messages, emails, texts, that is not okay. That is a full invasion of privacy. The name of my podcast. That's full on invasion, and that's not acceptable ever. So don't ever get, that's like allowing abuse. It's like, oh, it does remind me of, oh, you shouldn't have wore that outfit if you didn't want to get, you're allowed to take fucking naked pictures of yourself. I don't care. No one's allowed to hack. We can't accept that behavior. If it gets out, don't blame the victim. But honestly, if my titty pics get out, you're welcome, world. Okay. And you know what I'm going to be doing when I have my script and all that shit come out? I'll have my titties out. Why are we really acting that scared of our bodies still? We're that ashamed, huh? And I get it, because my own sexuality has been coming out. I talked about this last time. You know, there's so much shame we have because a lot of times owning your sexuality as a child, if you then got abused sexually, you start to feel bad about being a sexual person. I can speak on that personally. when you've had your own trauma or wound around abuse, sexual related, it's very hard to claim your sexuality back when you've been violated in that way and claim it for yourself. But I'm fucking claiming it, and I'm a sexy fucking hot bitch, and I'm going to own my body. And ain't no one shaming me into not sending tit or vag pics or videos, please. I'll send them to whoever I want to send them to. Now, I only really send stuff like that at this point in my life, currently, if I'm really connected and also trusting the person I'm sending it to. You know what I mean? So really, maybe that's something to learn from is like, first of all, if you're a celebrity taking nudes, you might get hacked. So make sure when you're taking something, how would I feel if this got out? Now, one video I recently took, including that my vagina's in, it would be really intense for me for that to come out. But if someone was obnoxious enough to fucking hack and try to spread that, I'd be like, yo, I got fucking hacked. That ain't my fault. There are psychos out there. I'm not going to take that on myself. I love taking fucking... When I enter my fucking full-on twin flame relationship, you're damn right I'm going to be taking some fucking hot sex videos. You out of your mind? Of course I am. For my own collection. But like... Plus, you get the FBI on that shit. That's what Kim Kardashian did. When her sex video, you know, I'll take control of it and then sell it myself and become a fucking bajillionaire. Like, it's like people do you. If you want to take tit pics, just know the consequences. If you're in middle school, I would not do that. I would not do something like that in middle school because middle school is rough with the bullying and shit. And when I was a teacher, I've said this story before, there was a girl who sent a nude picture of herself and it spread around the school and she started getting bullied. I didn't blame her. I didn't blame her at all. Yeah, she learned maybe not to take pictures, but I'm still take pictures personally as Kate Wolf. And I'm only going to speak for me. Ain't no one scaring me into not taking some good titty pics. Okay. So you can take that shit elsewhere. Whoopi, you might be pissing off Bella Thorne, but mm-mm. But I feel like I would just laugh with Whoopi about it, to be honest, because I really do like Whoopi, actually. She's a cool lady. And I don't agree with that opinion. I think it was not cool, and it was it did have some kind of a sexual slut-shaming element to it. But for the most part, I like Whoopi, and I would love to explain my perspective around here, because my perspective is don't let anyone fucking shame you of your naked body or things you did in your past. We're all sexual beings. And most of us watch porn. Most people like to lie about it or lie about what they're watching or gravitating towards. But that's because porn goes into our shadow and goes into, even for me, it goes into a lot of my gray area abuse. It explains a lot for me and what my mom went through and a lot of shit. So, you know, don't be ashamed. Just pay attention to what you're gravitating towards. And if you ever really want to talk about it with someone, get a healing with me, because I don't give a fuck what porn you watch. You can tell me. I'm not going to judge you. I mean, don't say it to me in some kind of enticing way, because that ain't going to go far. But I'm here to really listen and understand and look at certain wounds that most of us are swimming in, all of us are swimming in. Powerlessness, helplessness, being stuck. All it takes is for you to look around at how we're treating pets and shit to know. We can look at our pets. We know that they're not fully alive and happy. I look at Jada, who I have half the time. A lot of responsibility. She's shit and pissed all over the floor yesterday. I was fucking ready to move to Thailand, which is where I go to when I want to escape. Because before I got pregnant, which I wasn't at the time ready for, although... Bring it on, right? Because I got my Shane brains out of it. But I was about to go help with the tsunami cleanup in Thailand. So, you know, when things get really bad around here, I go, I'm fucking going to Thailand. That's what it's my escape in my brain. But I was joking with a friend about it and he was like, you fucking go and the cleanup's already over. Like 10 years, I show up for the cleanup. 13 years later, they're like, bitch, you are too late. This beach is clean. But, you know, it's a lot of responsibility. And I see that Jada wishes she was free. I hate, personally, keeping her stuck indoors. I'm coughing. In case you didn't hear, I'm talking a lot. But it's true. All right, I'll move on. Dealing with devastation. Like I said, man, fucked up things are happening too. Devastating things, tragic, sudden. And it's hard to face our roles in it or why it's happening and what it's bringing up and how we're going to get through it. But we're going to get through this. My friend just went through a tragedy yesterday. And it's just knowing you can get through. And understanding that life is complicated as fuck. And when you try to make sense of it and understand it fully from a yetzeratic psychological place, it becomes almost impossible. So sometimes you just got to feel it. You got to feel it to heal it, which is a very true statement. And when we start feeling it, we think something's wrong with us because it can feel fucked up and uncomfortable. Sitting in the space and just breathing, which I'm having to do because that's why I started coughing. I'm going to breathe. Let's all take 3 deep breaths. Start coughing talking about Jada because it's really sensitive material to talk about our relationship to our pets because we're all trying our best. But we all want to be free. And I'm happy in a sense that Katie, the horse that used to live in Merrill Park for years and years, has passed because I always felt her pain. And it's okay to let animals or people or whoever gracefully pass over. And there are mediums out there that are real that can help you connect to either a loved one who has passed or a pet who has passed. And to speak with them and know that they're okay and that life doesn't ever really end for any soul. We continue on, we transform, we change, we evolve, we grow, we heal. It's really hard when things start to shift and transform, and it's really hard dealing with death. Whether it's the death of form or the actual death of a loved one, or an animal, etc. But we're learning how to grieve together and to come together as a way to transform the way we navigate this whole thing. So it hurts a bit less or a lot less. And I'm for it. I'm for change. I'm for truth. I'm for really acknowledging the struggle that many of us have been dealing with in an honest way. And I'm really, really sick of the facades. I just don't have time or patience for it. I'd rather be on my own than deal with that, to be honest. But I don't think I'm going to have to be on my own because I know that there are a lot of us ready to shift into a truer, authentic, freer place filled with honest life force. So let me see if there's anything I want to, my voice is starting to go. Oh, and the Kardashians are finally airing the Tristan scandal months later after the trauma happened for Khloe. So I'm hoping there will be more authenticity even within that show and the Kardashian family, because I'm done with fakery. And I know we all are. So I'm going to wrap this up because my voice is going. Follow me on Instagram and Twitter at the Kate Wolf. My voice. Get a healing, kwolf2f27@gmail.com. And thank you all so much for listening. Bye.
Who is it? It's Sauron. The war in me has just begun. My truth will always be sung. Over and over we will be one. My enemies, they lie with it. Self-destruct, my biggest sin. I won't stop, so it begins, and we march on like minions.
Lordess of the rings, Lordess of the rings, Lordess of the rings, Lordess of the rings.
I'm the hero, 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 the hero.